remain standing this morning as we read the Word of God together. If you'd do that, I'd appreciate it. I told the men in Sunday school class, I said, I feel terribly, terribly weak in my preaching this morning, and what few little old notes I've got written down. And because it just doesn't seem like it gives Brother Hall a whole lot of preaching room in what I've got. But God knows what He's doing.
Amen.
And you turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 1 Peter. I'm going to unbutton my jacket. I believe that'll help my lapel mic a little bit. Is that high enough, Brother Robert? You got modulation? I want everybody to be able to hear it now. 1 Peter, and in the Word of God. I want you to turn to two places, chapter 1, chapter 5. And we'll... First Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And I simply want you to remember the first word of that sentence, Peter, the author of this book that we're beginning to study today. And then in chapter 5 and verse number 12, the Bible said, by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that reading of His Word this morning. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for the songs that we've been able to enjoy this morning, for the good fellowship with God's people and the good spirit in the house of God. I want to thank you, Lord, for the Bible that you've given. I pray the power of the Spirit of God would rest upon me and fill this place today. May the Holy Ghost deal with every heart that is here. Lord, if there be those amongst us without Christ, that's my desire and prayer to God that they might be saved today. Then I pray for your people that you'd strengthen them in their faith, that you'd encourage their hearts. I pray, Lord, that you'd comfort those that may be bereaved or grieved this morning, those that are facing difficulties and difficult circumstances in their life. I pray for them that you'd bless them and help them, Lord, to lean upon Thee and to overcome and to be victorious in Christ. Again, I pray you'll fill me with the Spirit of God, provide me with the liberty, Lord, the unction that I need, and just help me, Lord, to express what you've laid upon my heart for today, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. I want to read again in chapter 5 and on verse number 12, where Brother Peter writing here and says, by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying. Underline those two words in your mind or in your Bible. Exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. I want to take that verse, if the Lord would help me this morning, and simply preach on the introduction to the book of Peter and preach for a little while on the purpose of Peter writing this book. God didn't write 66 books in the Bible without having a purpose in mind. And every book contains its own truth about the Lord Jesus, about our salvation, and about the way of faith. And every book has a purpose behind its writing, something that God wants to accomplish in the hearts of His people, or else something that He wants, a message that He wants to get across to those that are lost and without God. And as we begin our study here, our verse, and by the way, I think it's going to have to be almost a verse-by-verse study in the book of 1 Peter, I want us to keep in mind a few things or a few thoughts about the author of this book. I don't know how many times that I preached about Peter himself, But I think we need to be acquainted with the author of the book if we're going to be able to understand fully what he had in mind when he sat down and began to pen the book of 1 Peter. And if you remember, Jesus gave him a Christian name. He called him Cephas, which was interpreted being a stone. And as you read through the four Gospels, you'll find that the Lord, on every occasion or every experience Peter had with him, that God was urging him to be steadfast, to live up to the name that he had been given, to live up to the character of being one who is steadfast in the Lord, being like a rock, being unmovable. And, you know, I may want to just interject this to our fathers today, if I may. If you're going to be a real father to your children, you're going to have to be steadfast in the Lord. I tell you, children have better discernment than you think they have. And if you're up one day and down the next, or if you're discouraged today and defeated tomorrow, I'll guarantee you those little ones know more about your heart probably than you do yourself, and they can detect that. And children today are looking for daddies that they can depend upon. Daddies that they can learn to lean upon in times of their trouble. Daddies that will be at their side when they're facing difficulties of life. You know, my children are all grown, married, and moved away. And there's still times that they will call me on the telephone and say, "Daddy, what do you think about so-and-so? Or what do you think about this?" And it blesses my heart to know that my children rely upon me enough that they're not afraid to call me and ask advice or my opinion on things that they're getting ready to do in life. Now, they don't always follow that advice, amen, but I'm glad that they do call and at least to ask for that advice. But daddies, it would behoove you and I today to copy our lives after the example that Peter set before us and be like a rock, be steadfast. Hey, don't be double-minded in the faith. Don't be like Reuben, as unstable as water. God wants you to be strong in the faith that is once delivered unto the saints of God. God wants you to be a rock for your children and a rock for your family. In fact, God wants you to build your life and your family upon that rock, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I want to say secondly about Peter, his intense and enthusiastic attachment to Christ. Now, you may not have seen that through the Word of God, but I found that everywhere the Lord was, Peter was right there by his side. And virtually every time that the Lord would say, direct his remarks to his disciples, he always called out the name of Peter first for some reason or another. And you know, God that searches the hearts and tries the reins knows what is in the heart of man. And He knew what was in the heart of Peter. And I believe that we're going to study a book about a man that had a deep love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, and may I say that we ought to be intense and enthusiastic about our love and our service to God. Amen and amen. We ought not, ladies and gentlemen, to be just dead in our faith, but I'm talking about coming to the house of God with some enthusiasm in our heart, some zeal in our heart, and not only let our children know, but let those around us know that there is a deep and abiding love in our heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you something this morning. Do you love Him? If you do, you love Him because He first loved you. I'll guarantee you that. He loved you and gave His life for you. He loved you and died on Calvary in your place. He loved you and shed His blood for the remission of your sin. He loved you because you were depraved and on your way to hell. And the only way God could save you was by loving you and sending His Son into this world to deliver you from the power of your sin and to birth you into the family of God. This is Father's Day, and we've all, and many of you, thank your Heavenly Father, and I'm glad. Because I believe it was Paul in Galatians said that we are to cry out, Abba, Father. Thank God, I'm glad I've got a Heavenly Father that watches over me. Amen. I've got a Heavenly Father that provides for me. He's not on welfare. Come on in the house. He's not on food stamps, ladies and gentlemen. He's not living in poverty. But we've got a God that is all-powerful, all-wise, and He is able to provide everything in life that you will ever need. And that is in regards to physical things as well as spiritual things. Amen and amen. Now, I don't know if this is right or not, but I know when we got a call about Josh back there, I immediately began to pray. And I said, Lord, please, divinely intervene that that collarbone is not as bad as they said, and that wrist is not as bad as they said, and that head is not as bad as they think. Now, I don't know whether God answered my prayer or Mommy and Daddy's prayer that they prayed for him, but I do believe that somewhere between Madisonville on that helicopter and Evansville, that God crawled up in that helicopter with that young man and said, I'm going to take care of business right here today. Somebody said, I don't believe God will do things like that. And you don't have the same God I'm serving him, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. What a God we have. I'm glad we got a God can get in a helicopter with us. Got a God that can get in the automobile with us. Got a God that can go down on the job with us. Got a God that can come to the house of God with us. Got a God that can go home with us and live in our home. Hallelujah. Amen. What a God. Hallelujah. And then, old Peter had a spirit of leadership almost to the point that he had a natural power of ruling things. Amen. If you'll notice in the four Gospels, it was always Peter that was impulsive and spoke out. Amen. And it was because he had a natural instinct to be a leader. Amen. To be a ruler. Now, may I say this to daddies? God's looking for daddies that will be rulers in their home. God wants you to be a ruler and have the power of God on you. And by the way, the only way you can rule your home and lead your wife is to have the power of God upon you. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Holy Ghost in you to lead you. That's right. God doesn't want wimps for fathers. God doesn't want pansies for fathers. Most men today wear lace on their underwear. Some of them wear silk ones. God have mercy on a man wear lace on his drawers. Come on in the house now. Amen. That's right. Through the loom, still all right. Come on in the house. I'll get your attention here in a minute. God's not looking for whips and pansies. God's looking for men that'll be steadfast like a rock, ladies and gentlemen, that can be a leader in the home and a leader in the family and lead their wives well and pray for their family, keep their family in the house of God, and keep them under the preaching of the Word of God. Somebody said, well, I don't believe I'm going to hang around. I'm going to tell you what, you better be better hanging around than hanging out. You get to hanging out, I'm going to tell you what will happen. The devil will creep in and tell your kids that you don't have what you said you have. Amen. And if it didn't work for you, it won't work for them either. Amen. I'm glad I got a God that will work for me. My salvation works, ladies and gentlemen. Grace is at work in our heart. Isn't that what Brother Peter said? He said, I'll find it here now. I'm in 2 Peter. I believe this is what he said. He said, I want to exhort and testify that this is the true grace. This is the true grace of God wherein you stand. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And by the way, that brings me to the purpose. I've only got one point. The purpose of writing this letter. And that was to exhort the believers and to testify to them that this is the true grace of God wherein we stand. Peter said, this is the real McCoy.
Amen.
This is it right here.
Amen.
I'm talking about this. The salvation that we have, saved by grace, bought by the blood, eternal life, eternal spirit that dwells within us, a heaven we're going to, and a hell that we've missed. That is the true grace of God, that God sent His Son into the world, died on the cross, buried in a borrowed tomb, and rose the third day according to the Scripture, and ascended back to the right hand of God, and 50 days later sent the Holy Ghost to empower the church. Amen. That's right. Got to have a drink. Not because I ain't got enough slobbers, because I got too much. Amen. But that purpose is found in verse 5 in chapter 12. To exhort and to testify. Now, he said to exhort the believers. Now, I'm not taking nothing away from the text. You look in your Greek concordance. But that word exhort, in the Greek, the word that's used here is virtually the same word that is used of the Holy Spirit, which is a paraclete or a parakletos. And this word exhort is just about the same word parakleta or something of that nature. But it virtually means the same thing. And it means to comfort or to encourage. Come on in the house and listen to me. Peter said, I'm writing this book, number one, that I might comfort and that I might encourage the saints of God. I'm telling you, people in our day, that we're generation we're living in, need all the exhortation that they can get to go on and serve God. I'm afraid there's so many living on the edge, living on the borderline, ladies and gentlemen, that they've got to be encouraged and they've got to be exhorted daily in order to stay faithful and stay in the house of God, lest they fall away. I'm going to tell you what the book said. They went out from us because they were not of us. If they had been of us, they no doubt would have remained with us. But they went out that maybe their deeds maybe proved that they were not of us or something of that nature. Amen. And so that word simply means to comfort or to encourage. And the word comfort has three thoughts with it. It means to make strong like a fortress. God wants you to be comforted by His grace, that you'll be strong like a fortress. I mean like a fort. Are you listening? That's what a fortress is. Something that's built up as a way, means of defense. Now I'm telling you, if you think you don't need to have some defense in your life today, you're all wrong. You need to be defended against the devil's temptations. You need to be defended, ladies and gentlemen, against society, this world, and the sin that's out in the world. You need to be a fortress today to defend the good grace of God that is in you. Amen. It means also to possess bravery or fortitude, to be brave, or to have spiritual fortitude. Not many brave Baptists left today. Easier to run. I had a dream night. I didn't sleep much last night. I had a dream last night. And I dreamed that I was out on this firing range, but there's one problem. I was downrange. And all them boys up range were standing up there, pow, pow, pow. And I just stood there. I said, I remember saying in the dream, I said, well, they couldn't hit the broadside of the barn. And I said, go, I told them, take your best shot, boys. Somebody said, that's bravery. No, that's a fool. That's a fool. But I'm going to tell you, the devil's going to take his best shot at you. And sin's going to take its best shot at you. And the world's going to take its best shot at you. And I tell you, you better be brave and have some fortitude to stand against it, or it will overcome you. What is it that overcomes the world, even our faith? That tells me if our faith don't overcome the world will overcome us. I ain't about to fall into their mold. I come home the other night and come by what used to be J.C. Penney's. And I looked over at the bar in the theater. It was full. Full. And the thought went through my mind, wonder how many Baptists in there. Won't charge you nothing for that. That's free. I wouldn't doubt it, Brother Jerome. But that word comfort means to make strong like a fortress or be brave or possess fortitude. It also means to make happy. Peter said, I'm writing this to exhort you to make you happy. I want you to be happy. I've never seen so many sad Christians in all my life. God help us. Why, you don't have anything to be happy about. You ought to be long-faced this morning. You don't have a thing to be happy about. You're only going to live as long as God does. So why be happy about some little trivial thing like that? I ain't no need to get in a... And don't get excited about it either. Don't get excited about living forever, whatever you do. Don't get excited about that and let somebody know you're going to live forever. Oh, what a great thought. That I've come, Jesus said, that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly. Praise God, I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but I'm about to get happy this morning. Amen. I'm about to fulfill that comfort today. Amen. Praise God. Don't get excited now about the fact you're going to live forever. Somebody said, they're going to put me in a grave. Yeah. But tell you the same thing I told that Pentecostal boy, that oneness boy, absent from the body, present with the Lord. I said, if there's only one person here, I said, where are you going when you die? I said, I'm going to heaven. I said, I thought they was going to put you in the grave. He said, huh? He's trying to tell me, gee, God's not a Trinity. Just Jesus only. God's not a Trinity. God the Father, God, he said Jesus was just one. He said he couldn't have been three. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Where are you going when you die? He said, I'm going to heaven. I said, where are they going to put your body? He said, in the grave. I said, well. He said, huh? I said, do you think it a great thing that God could be God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost? Be three persons in one God when He made you body, soul, and spirit? And someday if you die, it'll be proved to you that your body's going to the grave, but that soul and spirit's going back to God that made them. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Praise God, we sang that song, oh, I want to see Him. I wonder how many Baptists really mean that. Most of them are ready to go to heaven, but they don't want to leave on the train that's pulling out today. Hallelujah. I want to go to heaven, but not right now. Amen. Praise God. I don't know why I wear these glasses. I can't see the stupid things. Guess it makes it feel good. The need for encouragement, now notice this, the need for encouragement was due in this book for the simple fact of the trials that they were facing. As we get into this book, you're going to find out that two thoughts stand out very prominently in the text of it, and that is Christian suffering and Christian trials. And here is a group of people, those that were scattered abroad, who were suffering greatly, ladies and gentlemen, and had a great flood of afflictions placed upon them. And Peter said, I want to write to you and encourage you and exhort you and comfort you because of the trials and the affliction that you're under right now. I'm telling you, if people today ain't living, pardon the English, I'm going to say it anyway. People today ain't living right there. I don't know where they're living. I look out over this congregation. And I'm telling you, I wanted to preach on fathers today. I don't normally preach tradition, by the way. I don't normally preach Jesus' birth on Christmas and resurrection on Easter and Father's Days on Mother's on Father's Days and Mother on Mother's Days. I just try to preach what God tells me. I want to preach on Father. And I'll be honest, some of you daddies in here need skinned and skinned good. You're slothful. You are slothful in your service to God. Some of you don't want to fellowship with the church. You want to fellowship with God's people. You're not right with God. There's sin there somewhere. But as I looked at you, I done my best to look beyond your fault. And look at the needs that you have in your life. And I'm telling you that God wrote that book that He might encourage you and comfort you because of the trials and the tribulations and the problems that have cropped up in your life that you don't know how to handle. Now I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of them come up we don't know how to handle. But I'm going to tell you, I'm glad I know the handler. Woo! Amen. I'm glad I know the handler. Listen to this. He said in chapter 1, verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. In heaviness. If need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. But notice the encouragement. Here it comes. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, though it perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found under praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Oh, he said, hey, he said, you might be in heaviness of temptation, but he said that trial that God's putting you through is worth more than all the gold in the world. Can you get a hold of that? You don't understand that. I know some of you don't understand that. But I'm telling you the problems you're facing and cannot solve on your own. They're trials God has put there and they're worth more than gold, spiritually speaking. Their value is far above gold. Because God has proven you and tested you and purifying you and purging the sin out of your life. God's making a Christian out of you. Whether you want to be a Christian or not, God will make one out of you. Amen. That's right. He said in chapter 3 and verse 14, but and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Don't be afraid of their terror. Amen. And don't be troubled. Don't be troubled about what. And don't be afraid of what.
Amen.
Their trials.
Amen.
Suffering.
Amen.
Don't be afraid of it.
Amen.
I thank you, Brother Robert, back there with that tumor behind his ear. And rightly so, it unnerve a man. Wouldn't me? God said, don't be afraid of it. And don't be troubled about it. You know why? Because everything that comes into our life is by sovereign design. God's never made a mistake. Hallelujah to God. I don't know why that old brain tumor's there. I don't know. I don't know why Billy's mama's sick. I don't know why Miss Rickard's daddy's sick. I don't know why Josh had that bicycle wreck, but I'm telling you that God allowed it to be there. For a reason. For a reason, ladies and gentlemen. And he said, don't be afraid of it. Don't be troubled about it. You know why? Because he said, I'm right there with you. Woo! I'll be your constant companion.
Amen.
I am your comforter.
Amen.
Praise God. Go to bed on a cold winter night, what do? Pull a comforter up over you and get warm. Some of you just need to go home and pull the comforter up over you and let Him warm you up real good. Hallelujah! I'm talking about the Holy Ghost! Amen. Did we lose her? Okay. I hope not. He said in chapter 4 and verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning not just a trial, this fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." Yeah, don't think it's strange. I'm going to tell you why I don't think it's strange. Everybody, look, if you're saved, it has been or is being accomplished in all, A-double-L, all of your brethren. Every one of them. All of them. Don't think it's strange. How many in here, just if you know it, raise your hand. How many in here know the next two words, in the first two words in the next verse? Don't look. Think it not strange concerning this fiery trial, which is to try you. And the next verse, you know what it says? But rejoice. Woo! But rejoice. Amen. But rejoice. Why? Because He's counted you faithful to allow you to suffer just like He has suffered. I'm here to tell you, one of the greatest honors a Christian can have is to be put into a place of suffering, to experience the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Being made conformable unto His death. Hallelujah. Some of y'all can't handle it, and you're going to die defeated because you don't know how to handle the trials. You don't know how to handle the troubles, and you don't have the fortitude, and you don't have the grace to fight it off. Paul said what? That I may know Him and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Amen. I said it got up this morning. I told Miss Hall, I said, "We got any ginseng pills?" She said, "Why?" I said, "Honey, I slept all night and I'm so tired I can't wiggle." And I'm just being honest with you. I don't want your sympathy, but my body is just about wore out. But I'm telling you, when I stand up to preach, it's like something comes on me like never before. Had a preacher to ask me at one of the camp meetings up down at Brother Rain's, come up to me and said, "Preacher, are you tired like this after every time you preach?" He noticed it on me. I said, "Pretty much so." But I'm going to tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I count it a great honor. Amen. And as long as I can stand and tell you about God, I'm going to tell you about God. Amen. Because I fear some of you in here may be lost. And I fear some of you in here may not be able to handle the load. Amen. And if I can help you carry your load, I want to be a brother to you and help you carry your load if you can't carry it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm telling you, I may be tired when I get done, but right now I could leapfrog every pew in here, run my head through the wall, grab hold of all the ceiling fans, swing a while, then swing from all these little chandeliers like a monkey on a limb, buddy. I'm going to tell you, you don't understand it, but you get a God with the Holy Ghost in Him and on Him. Whoa, He's something else. Now, He wanted to encourage. This encouragement was threefold. I'll be done here in just a minute now. Number one, He wanted to remind us of our future glory. He said in chapter 1 and verse 7, "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, though it perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory," when? At the appearing of Jesus Christ. Oh, Brother Peter, hey, he wanted to encourage you and say, just hang on, He's coming. And I believe it's any day, just any day now. Just any day now. Have you ever seen the signs of the times like they are? There's wars and there's rumors of wars. Kingdom is rising against kingdom. There's earthquakes in diverse places. There's pestilences. There's famines. I've never seen so much violence. I read about five boys or heard about five boys on the news being slain, gangbuster style slain. Hey, little girls being raped and people being robbed and killings. I'm telling you, there's violence in the earth. Somebody said, preacher, what about that? It's exactly like it was in the days of Noah when there was violence in the earth. I want to remind you that while the violence was going on in the earth, old Noah was a building an ark. Hallelujah to God! Amen! And when the violence mounted up to its fall and God's wrath was poured out, Noah and Miss Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Miss Shem, Ham, and Japheth, they then slammed that ark, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah! Riding out the waves of the storm, praise God! One of these days, there's going to be great tribulation. Pardon the expression, but all hell break loose on the earth. I'm glad, thank God, when all hell breaks loose, I'm going to be sitting in the portals of glory with God. Amen. So you, if you're saved. He wanted to encourage them for the future glory. And I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be dead and dull and dry up there. It's going to be a glory at the glorious appearing of our great God. Everywhere Jesus is at, the glory will be there. Oh, what glory. Well, won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to care. There, joy bells all ringing, the night on and singing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? It will be, hallelujah. Praise God. I don't glory in anybody burning in hell. I want them all to be saved. But I'm glad God saved me, boy. Glad, thank God I've escaped the torments of hell. Thank God I've escaped the fires of hell. I'm glad that I'm saved by grace today. And I'm kept by the power of Almighty God. Amen. I got a letter in the mail this week. Had a track in it. Brother Jerome had passed out. And had written on that track, you think that doing what this track says is going to get you into heaven. Said, you better read your Bible. There's more to it than that. And they had a piece of paper in there that had come from their church where they clipped off the scissors the name of their church. Didn't want nobody, didn't have no address, didn't have nothing on it, didn't want nobody to know who it came from. And it had up on there, how to be saved. It said, repent of all your sins. I said, well, I believe in repentance. Then you must, after repenting, and it was the Church of Christ, well, they said, you must be baptized. And then after you're baptized, then you've got to do good works in order to stay saved. And it had a few other things in between. And I thought, Lord, what kind of heresy? Praise God, I have repented. Amen. Now I have been baptized. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, that water up there didn't wash my sins away. Amen. If it did, we'll change the song and start singing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the water fountain. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the water fountain. Don't I? You ain't going to. Hey, that baptism, for Miss Jennifer's sake, simply identifies you with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and identifies you with the Baptist church that you're baptized in. It's a church ordinance. It wasn't an Old Testament ordinance, it's a church ordinance. And by the way, the Church of Christ don't even have any authority to baptize. It was Baptists that God led out on the Mount of Olives and told them to go baptize, make disciples of all nations. Won't charge you nothing for that. Better get off of it or make some of you mad. But he wanted to encourage them by reminding them of future glory. He wanted them to remember the example Christ left. And I've already hit on this. Chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example
And hereunto were you called. Amen. Called for what? To suffer like he suffered.
Amen. Read Philippians 1:29. But it's not only given unto you to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but to suffer
Amen.
For his name's sake.
Amen.
Somebody said, I ain't suffered. Some of you are suffering more than you think. You just need to get your eyes open to it.
Amen.
And realize there is a repose.
Amen.
Leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Realizing there's release.
Amen.
A fellow told me once, he said, you know how when I'm ready to get for my pop-off valve to blow, you know what I do? And I said, what? He said, I got a duffel bag hanging out in the garage. And he said, I go out in the garage with a duffel bag. He said, it's full of straw and stuff. And I've got it packed full of rags and straw. He said, I take a ball bat and beat on that bag. He said, that way. He said, I let all my hostilities out of me. He said, it calms me down. I said, you know what calms me down? He said, what? I said, I don't go into the garage. I go into the closet.
Amen.
Shut the door. And tell Jesus all about it.
Amen.
And leave it there.
Amen.
Some of y'all worry about things you can't change. You can't do a thing of that. Leave them with him.
Amen.
He can change them.
Amen. That's right.
If you got a lost child, he can save them.
That's right. Amen.
You got family troubles? He can turn them around.
Amen.
Your family's like a crossword puzzle in a million pieces? I guarantee he can just put it together, and I'll guarantee you when he puts it together, it'll be the most beautiful picture you ever see in your life.
Amen.
I'm going to say thirdly, he wanted us to rejoice over the reward that followed suffering. He said in chapter 4, verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And on their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Now what he's saying there is, ladies and gentlemen, what a reward to know that the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God rest upon those that have found their place in suffering and trials and tribulation. Hey, and look here, on their part is evil spoken of, but on your part, spoken of good. People look at you and say, boy, they're a great Christian. I don't see how they're holding up under the load they're carrying, but boy, they're doing it. They must be a great Christian. The reward for it is the Spirit of God resting upon you.
Amen.
The Spirit of glory.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God resting upon you. Oh, what a blessing!
Yes,
you know why I can get up here and carry on like a fool? I'm going to tell you why. I've got the Spirit of God resting upon me.
Amen.
And don't bother me a bit.
Amen.
I've spit and slobbered like a mad dog, and it don't bother me a bit.
Amen.
Because I've got the Spirit of God resting upon me.
Amen.
Then he said in 5:1, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed.
Amen.
Now, his second purpose, testify. That word testify just almost means to assure. So he's exhorting believers, and he's giving believers assurance. It's almost like Peter seems to say, listen up carefully. When he said, briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. It's almost like Peter said, I can personally endorse everything that I've wrote in this book to you.
Amen.
And it's like he's saying, you know why I can endorse it? I've been there, done that, and got a t-shirt.
Amen.
I've been an eyewitness of it all.
Amen.
I have been through it all. I have suffered. I'm not telling you something I've not done.
Amen.
I'm not preaching to you something I've not been a partaker of. I've been through trials. Did Jesus not tell him that I have prayed for thee, Peter, that thy faith fail not?
Amen.
Now he testified, giving them assurance that Christ's intention is to bring them to God. Can you get a hold of that? Listen to what I'm going to read in 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit.
Amen.
He said, I want to assure you of one thing, that Christ is going to someday bring you to God. Little church, people folk, saved people in here, Jesus is going to take you to God someday.
Amen.
Do you have that assurance? He wants you. That's why he's testifying. And I know it's a fact.
Amen.
He wanted to ensure us that Christ is building a spiritual house. Chapter 2 and verse 5 said, you also are lively stones. I marked that. Jesus said he is a living stone.
Amen.
And he called us lively stones.
Amen.
Built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And he said, I want to assure you that that little church I'm building up down there is a spiritual house.
Amen.
And I wanted to offer up spiritual sacrifices. We don't offer up lambs anymore.
Right.
Spiritual sacrifice. You know what spiritual sacrifice is? Paul said that it is the fruit of your lips. Even praise unto God. When was the last time you praised God with your lips?
Amen.
That's a spiritual sacrifice. And finally, he assures us of the blessing that we have inherited.
Amen.
He said in chapter 2 and verse 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but constraining, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are the thereunto called, that ye shall inherit the blessing. Peter said, I want you to make sure, I want you to know that you're going to inherit the blessing. I wonder what blessing he is talking about. Has to be the blessing of eternal life. Now that's hard to believe when we live in these bodies and we see people carried almost daily to the cemetery and buried, and we wonder how we can talk about inheriting the blessing of eternal life when we're dead and buried. Well, folks, this earthly tabernacle is going to be dissolved. But there is a tabernacle. There is a house not made with hands, reserved in the heavens for us. For those of us that are kept by the power of God. Testifying and exhorting that he might comfort and assure the people of God that through their trials and their sufferings that they would inherit the blessing. Let's stand together.
Amen.